you have your Bibles today, if you'll turn them over to Job chapter 16 and verse 2. Job 16 verse 2, as we are kind of coming to an end at our sermon series. We still have at least one message left in this sermon series called The Names of God. And before I unveil the name that we're going to be looking at this morning, let me just say that today's name is used five times in the New Testament. Five times in the New Testament. And one of the, I think probably one of the great and far-reaching promises of God is the names of God that we're going to kind of look at today. And it's all from one Greek word, parakletos. And we'll kind of get into it. And before I kind of go any further, let me just remind you of something we kind of alluded to last week, because I think it's really applies in today's name. Today we're not going to look at God's proper name. We're not going to see like Yahweh and then another name attached to it. We're going to be looking at something in the New Testament that kind of labels and describes who God is. And it's all from this one Greek word. And I said that last week, the Old Testament always points towards the New Testament. It always points specifically to Jesus Christ, something that Jesus did. And today is a great day to see this. It's a great example because we're going to be looking at the book of Job, and it's going to point us towards something in the New Testament and specifically to Christ. So let's look at the 16th chapter. And as we do, I just want to kind of give you a little bit of background here. Job is a hurting vehicle right now, man. I mean, he's hurting. He has had a lot of things happen. Wave after wave of bad things have happened to him. His friends have come for the first couple days. They are just sitting there. Just sitting there with him. And he's, no one says a word. And then all of a sudden they do the wrong thing and they start trying to give him advice. And so it's here that we kind of discover what Job thinks. And what's cool about this is that Job in the 16th chapter gives us two things. He identifies two things that every hurting person needs. They may not admit to it, but they do need it. Two things that he identifies that a hurting person needs. Let's look at verse 2 here. We see the first one. It says, I've heard all of this before. Can I just tell you, when people are hurting, I'll guarantee you there's not a cliche that they have not heard. If you've ever been in a situation where you've lost a loved one or something of that nature, or perhaps you've been diagnosed with a bad diagnosis or prognosis, one of the things that you're going to hear are people who are trying to help, and they'll say things and they'll hear it over and over and over again. Things like, you know, I'll be praying for you. Well, you know, that's great to say, but make sure you do it. Some people say, well, you know, God, you know, when God gives you lemons, make lemonade. You know, that's not really what you want to hear. And I love what he says. I have heard all of this before. Everything that you said, I've heard already because, hey. And he says, what miserable comforters you are. That is the first thing that we can identify that Job is talking about here. When you're hurting, you need comfort. You don't need advice. You don't need blame. You don't need a course on 7 habits of highly effective people. You don't need a self-worth course. You need comfort. And Linda May Richardson must have had some kind of similar experience, because she wrote this, and it's very, very telling. She writes, when I was diagnosed with cancer, my first friend came and expressed his shock by saying, I can't believe you have cancer. I always thought you were so active and healthy. And when he left, I felt alienated and somewhat different. My second friend came and brought me information about different treatments being used for cancer. He said, whatever you do, don't take chemotherapy because it's poison. And when he left, I felt scared and confused. My third friend came and tried to answer my whys with the statement, perhaps God is disciplining you for some sin in your life. And when he left, I felt guilty. My fourth friend came and told me, if your faith is just great enough, God will heal you. And when he left, I felt my faith was somehow inadequate. My fifth friend came and told me to remember that all things work together for good. And when he left, I felt angry. My sixth friend, well, he never came at all. And I felt all alone. My seventh friend came and held my hand and said, I care. I'm here. And I want to help you through this. And when he left, I felt loved. My friends, hurting people need comfort. They don't need advice. They don't need a course. They need your prayers, but more than that, they need you. Just to be there. Just to hold their hand. Just to tell them it's going to be okay. And that they're not going through whatever they're going through by themselves. I have so many times have heard people with the best of intents just muck it up. Just make things bad. And all they want to do is try to help. And if I was going to give any advice, and I've said this from this pulpit before, if you're in a situation you're not sure what to say to somebody, don't say anything. Just hold them. They'll know what you mean by that. So the first thing is comfort that we identify, that Job identifies for us, that people need. The second thing Job identifies is found in verse 19 of this 16th chapter of Job. It says, even now my witness is in heaven. My advocate is there on high. My friends scorn me, but I pour out my tears to God. I need someone to mediate between God and me as a person mediates between friends. You see, Job's second identity of what a hurting person needs is a advocate, a go-between, a mediator. And what's really interesting about this word advocate in the Old Testament, it is a Hebraic word that is only used here. And this Hebraic word will point us to the New Testament, where we will see somebody called Jesus. And my friends, that is what's so amazing. It's almost as if Job has this prophetic knowledge that there is one in heaven who is his go-between, who is his mediator, his advocate. And advocates are important people to people who are hurting. When Jody and I were walking with our daughter through the terrible uncertainty of her cancer, it seemed monthly that some kind of treatment or medication was being denied by Blue Cross Blue Shield. And if it was denied, then we had to pay for it. And my wife is very, very detail-oriented, and she tried to cover all the bases. She did whatever she needed, and she'd get on the horn with Blue Cross Blue Shield, and she's just a go-getter like that. And if we couldn't get it covered, then we would have to pay for it. And we had just taken our second full-time church, and we were paying COBRA, or paying, extending our health insurance, and we were paying that out of our own pocket. So it wasn't like the highway patrol was paying for it. It was us paying for the entire amount. And so I don't even know how we made it through all of that, but by the grace of God, God took care of it. But what was so cool, because my wife was praying about this situation, and one day she called Blue Cross Blue Shield, and she accidentally came across a woman. Now, I say that accidentally as a very sarcastic remark, because when you pray, there is no such thing as accidents. There's no such thing as I just happened to find, or it just popped into my head. It's an answer to prayer. And sometimes we don't recognize that God has taken care of it. And this dear lady who worked at Blue Cross Blue Shield, she became an advocate for my wife. She had the ability, and she's very kind, she's very helpful. She went out of her way to help my wife to straighten out what had taken place and why it was denied. And my wife at the end of the phone call said, can you give me your extension, please? And from then on, when any time we would get some kind of denial, she would call her advocate. And her advocate would straighten out the paperwork. She had the ability to cut through the red tape. She would have the ability just to get right to the matter and to correct it so it would be covered. My friends, advocates are very, very, very important to people who are hurting. And Job here, he's a hurting man. He was under stress, just like we were under stress when we were going and walking with our daughter through all the chemotherapy and all of the stuff that was going on. And this one woman was like Christ to my wife and to us, because she was able to alleviate a little bit of stress to make a day just a little bit more bearable. So Job, this hurting man, he says, there are two things that I need: comfort and an advocate, a go-between, a mediator. Now let's turn to the New Testament, where we're going to see the first use of this word of parakletos, the Greek word that we're talking about. And it's going to kind of take us in a different direction, but just hold on. It says this in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 26. It says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. Verse 26 says, but the comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Again in John chapter 15, going from chapter 14 to first chapter 15, it says, but when the comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall bear witness of me. And going to chapter 16, just another chapter up, we look at verse 7 and it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you, but if I go, I will send him unto you. The word comforter there is the Greek word. That's what we render it, comforter, but it's from the Greek word parakletos. Parakletos tells us something about who God is. And we see that the first thing that Job identified in back in Job was comfort. And God sent us a comforter. And we have access through him, through Christ, to him. It's interesting that the comforter will only come after Jesus leaves and goes back to heaven. It's interesting that that's when it happens. Because isn't that really when we need it the most? When we have had someone leave us and go to heaven. That's when we need the comforting probably the most, is when we lose someone. Right now, Pastor Travis is in a good place. He's enjoying what the Bible promises. But he's left the church behind, scratching their head and asking questions. Some of them probably still shocked over the matter. But I want you to know that there is need there for a comforter for them. And they have a comforter that is with them forever. But there is another application here. We've seen four uses of parakletos, but we're going to see the final one, and we're going to see it in 1 John. John is the one who uses these terms. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, we see this. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may not sin, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation, or he is paid for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole entire world. I find this, that we have an advocate with the Father. Who is that advocate? It's Jesus Christ, who is righteous and who has paid for our sins, the propitiation of our sins. And when I think of this verse, I immediately think of Hebrews chapter 7, and it says this in the Living Bible, he, being Jesus, is able to save completely all who come to God through him, since he will live forever. He will always be there to remind God that he has paid for their sins. Who's there? Yours. And with his blood. So we have a new name here. An advocate, a go-between, a mediator. The second thing that Job said he needed, Job said, someone to mediate between God and me. And we have that. His name is Jesus Christ. And he sits before the throne of God. And he intercedes for us, constantly interceding, reminding the God the Father that he died for us. My friends, we have two comforters. We have two advocates. We have the Holy Spirit that is within us. And we have Jesus Christ who is above us. One is a comforter and one is an advocate. And my friends, we are truly blessed. Jesus is that someone, and Jesus is the witness that Job identified in heaven. Isn't it amazing that Job saw this? That Job knew this? That he foresaw it and he spoke about it? And my friends, the reality is we have that. Recently I was talking to a friend of mine who had taken a trip to Washington, D.C. to look at the Capitol and many of the things that are there. And I didn't know this. I was talking to somebody within the congregation. I didn't know you could do this, but they said, yeah, if you contact your congressman, like a year in advance or whatever, and said you're going to travel to the Capitol, they will, if nothing's on the agenda, they will try to work it out, and they will take you around the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. And my friend said, you know, we could walk freely around the Capitol. We could walk around and go through those little things that said for authorized personnel only because the congressman's with me. I got to see things that a lot of people never get to see because I was with the congressman. And the reality is we have someone who's bigger and better and greater as an advocate to us. His name is Jesus. And we can see things and get to places that we wouldn't otherwise based on our own ability. You see, it's not about us and what we can do. It's not about what we, it's all about who He is. And my friends, that is the great news here. So Job says, we need comfort. And God sends us a comforter. And Job says, I need a mediator, an advocate. And God sends us one. And He's there making intercession for you and for me. And my friends, I think sometimes we don't realize just how blessed we are that He has surrounded us with such a great crowd of witnesses, but He has made a way for us. That there is one who has never lost a case, and His name is Jesus. And when you put your faith in Him, you can be sure your faith will be held in a mighty hand. Let's pray. Father, we come to You in the name of Christ, and we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace.